Today, live from Hawaii and on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, travel comes roaring back, but there's one major problem, a lack of workers in key areas. And China creates its first national parks. Details next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment, Mark takes a look at traveling to Hawaii during COVID. What's the mood there? Are people masking up or throwing caution to the wind? We have some interesting first-person observations.
At 3:35, we leave the focus on Hawaii. One of America's most popular vacation destinations is on a post-COVID comeback. So what are the things you need to know if you want to visit the islands during the holidays or after the first of the year?
The Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas concert's coming to town, and we have an update for you at 3:55.
Live from the island of Kauai in the beautiful Hawaiian Islands, welcome to today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman with you. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. By the way, you can follow along with our special guests and other stuff to make you a smarter traveler anytime, any day at TravelGuysRadio.com. I'm camped right here in Sacramento, where I always am for the show, and Mark is at one of his favorite places on the planet, and that is in Hawaii. And so it's the combination California-Hawaii show today. If you're interested in traveling to Hawaii and it's one of your favorite vacation destinations, this show is for you. Mark is going to kind of lay it all out from a first-person observation as to what's going on over there. And with that being said, let's bring him on, the star of the show. Mark, how you doing over there on the islands?
Pretty good, Thomas. Probably should apologize to our listeners to start with for the technical challenges today. We have this real fancy gadget that allows me to be in a faraway place and sound like I'm just in the room next door. And that fancy gadget is not working real well today. So here I am on the telephone, plan B. So excuse us if we have a few little minor pauses and things like that as the radio catches up with all of those signals all the way across the ocean. So, Thomas, it's a beautiful day here on Kauai. We've already had a couple of showers, which people who have visited this island know that it gets more rain than any other spot in the islands. In fact, the wettest spot on the planet is right here on this island. So it's nice to be back in Hawaii. It's really interesting because, as I mentioned to you yesterday in our conversation, things here are rolling along pretty well. People are basically applying a fairly mild set of rules, wear a mask, have a vaccine. You want to go into a restaurant, you want to go indoors someplace, and it seems to be going pretty well. We don't have people dancing, protesting in the streets. The hotel occupancies over here are getting fairly close to normal. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the program, but if you have a plan to visit the islands or you're thinking about visiting the islands, I have, I think, some very good news for you later on in the program.
Very good. You know, by the way, that's a pretty decent phone line. If I didn't know better, it almost sounds like you're in studio. Well, all right. At the beginning of every Travel Guys radio show, we take time out to bring you up to date on what's been going on in this week's travel news. And with it, back to Mark.
Hey there. And one of the reasons that this phone line probably sounds so well has a little bit to do with Luis, who is there in the studio, turning all the dials and trying to make us look good. All right. Family travel is roaring back. with vaccines for young children now on the horizon. The amount of family reservations for vacations from organized tour operators, cruise lines and the like. I'm looking at some different statistics here for family vacations. It looks like over the last 10 days, the number of reservations is up about 100%, and the number of inquiries is up about 1,400%. So it a quick, random, non-scientific survey among families looking to book travel reservations for people looking to book travel reservations for their family shows that about 95% of them plan to have their kids get vaccinated so that they can travel safely. That's not a political statement as much as it is just a non-scientific survey that tells us a little bit about what's going on. China, I mentioned in the headlines, has created their first national parks. Now, this is a little bit different than what we have here in the U.S., but the protected land covers about 230 square kilometers. And one of the big priorities for China in the beginning of this of creating some protective areas is to preserve the panda bear. And so some of the parks are more focused on animal species than they are natural environment. But there is a list of them. And if you are planning a trip to China, it looks like the Chinese are starting to copy the Americans from a sense of trying to take better care of some of their natural resources. So that's kind of impressing. Macy's in New York City has announced that it looks like a limited number of spectators will be able to attend the 2021 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. Of course, if you remember last year, the parade operated without spectators along the route. People won't be able to camp out and stake out a spot, but rather there will be designated places where tickets will be available so that folks can sit in socially distanced areas. And one of the things that is plaguing New York and its hotels is the same thing that's happening here in the islands, and dare I say the same thing that's happening everywhere, not only in our country, but around the planet right now. Hospitality workers, we've lost about 15% of the hospitality workers. So if you are running a hotel and you've got to have housekeepers and you've got to have shuttle bus drivers and you've got to have laundry people and back of the house folks in the kitchen and people to fix things and the like, if you're down 15% of your employees, it means one of two things: either your managers are working a lot of extra shifts or a lot of things are not getting done. And that probably depends a little bit on the hotel's philosophy. Same thing with restaurants and the like. The hospitality industry right now is really hurting in terms of number of people. The reason this is important to you who are listening to the Travel Guys radio show is because if you are planning travel sometime over the holidays, it is pretty likely that you are going to run into this. So when you do, don't be surprised. And the other thing to keep in mind is that if you become really upset about the poor service to the people who are there, first of all, they're probably not the people who are responsible for the poor service. And second of all, it isn't going to improve the service, especially if that person quits at the end of the day. So it's a situation where right now, if you're going to be a traveler, you're going to have to be willing to deal with some situations that are going to be a little bit out of the ordinary, particularly for our service concept. We'll talk a little bit in the second half of the program about how that impacts visitors coming here to Hawaii. Family travel, we got the infrastructure bill, means some money for transit around the country, which is going to mean some good news for travelers. It means that some of Amtrak's backlog of maintenance will be taken care of. It also means that some of the infrastructure on things like national park roads and stuff like that. So we don't have a list yet, but we do have an outline of where some of the dollars may go, and it looks like for travelers, are going to see a significant amount of this money sent to places that will help travelers have a better experience when they're out on the road. This is not really a travel story, but it came up on the travel headline this morning, as fact. In fact, Rich Tomaselli from TravelPulse.com and the Las Vegas Review Journal newspaper are reporting that for at least the seventh time last week, officials from the Major League Baseball franchise in Oakland were in Las Vegas to talk to city and county officials about relocating as well as touring potential sites. This time the team met with the brass of the Howard Hughes Corporation, which owns the AAA team in Las Vegas, which just also happens to be Oakland's AAA minor league team and also owns the AAA ballpark, also owns some property where a new ballpark, major league ballpark, could be built. So a quick headline there from the sports world. It looks like one of our travel reporters has ferreted out a gathering of Oakland A's officials, major league officials, and Las Vegas officials in Las Vegas. So the A's could be finally perhaps one step closer to make it to relocating. And our last little travel tidbit here, My Fair Lady gets the San Francisco Chronicle's highest rating as theater comes back to San Francisco. And My Fair Lady is playing at the Orpheum Theater through the 28th of November. Tickets are available. And the reviews have been nothing less of the San Francisco Chronicle says the sets and the acting are both tremendous, over the top. My Fair Lady in San Francisco theater is back. And that's your travel news for today.
All right. A couple of things here before we move on. Mark, what's being a huge baseball fan for many, many years, what is your thought about baseball moving to Vegas, whether it's the Oakland A's or anybody else? Do you have any thoughts on the impact on the game or any of that?
I hate to say it because it impacts local baseball fans more. I'm more of a National League fan than an American League fan, but that doesn't mean that I didn't attend World Series games in Oakland in the 70s when I was younger and have a lot of great memories from that ballpark. It's a real privilege to have both leagues in Northern California, but it's no secret the A's have never, Northern California has a hard time supporting two Major League Baseball franchises, always has. To me, Tom, Las Vegas is the perfect place for a professional sports franchise because it's a tourist place, it's a visitation place. So no matter if you're a fan of the Oakland Raiders and you live in Poughkeepsie, then you can buy a package that allows you to go to Las Vegas and see shows and gamble and do whatever and see your baseball team play. And, you know, there's a reasonable number of tourism attractions that are not gambling based in Las Vegas now. So it really is. Las Vegas is almost the consummate sports franchise city. And that's why I'm afraid that Oakland A's fans, this has come up a lot of times and maybe it doesn't happen, but the fact that the football team has already moved and they're obviously deep into talks tells me that it may very well happen. But yes, Tom, Las Vegas is a great place for sports franchises because it draws visitors, and there's nothing, you know, better to draw the visitor in than the opportunity to see their favorite sports team in play.
Last week, we had Richard Lewis on talking about Broadway here in Sacramento being back, talked about the new theater, talked about the expanded restrooms for the ladies. I spoke with someone who has been to the new shows and was raving about the extra space, extra bathrooms for the women. Did point out, though, that in the expansion, they kind of consumed some of the men's restrooms that used to be in the same area and moved the men's restrooms to another location. Okay, so no, the men still have places, but she said she saw guys walking into the ladies' restroom more than once because they were familiar with that being the men's area too. And so it's a guys, if you go to the new theater, Sacramento, what is it? What's the official name? Is it still the Sacramento?
Oh, please don't ask me that question. We're going to embarrass
anyway,
ourselves here.
Yeah, the new place. If you go there and you used to go to a certain place for the men's restroom, they're not there anymore. All right. With that being said, let's move on. Coming up right after the break, back to Hawaii with Mark. We're going to talk COVID, what the mood is. Are people masking up? Are they throwing caution to the wind? You'll find out first person next here on The Travel Guys. All the leaves are brown. Here we are, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, The Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, follow along. Links to You know, things that we just had in the news and much more at TravelGuysRadio.com. Across the big pond over to Hawaii, where Mark is hanging out. And we're going to find out what the mood is there and what things are like and so forth. Mark, let's go ahead and turn you loose here with some observations. First person from a guy who has been there more than once.
All righty, let's do that. But first, let's finish off the previous segment. Mr. Clayton Whitehead reports to us it is the Safe Performing Arts Center. So hopefully that will take us off the hook with the powers that be there.
All right, the Safe Performing Arts Facility. Sponsored by Safe Credit Union, for the word safe.
That would be it. So I've spent the last 4 days here in Hawaii on Maui and Kauai researching and working on future vacations for my sports leisure vacations groups. We come here once or twice a year with groups of 20 to 25 people. The next trip is in April, and we're indeed coming to these two islands, Maui and Kauai. I'm happy to report that the spirit of aloha is alive and well in the islands. The smiles are through masks, and the people of Hawaii are asking that you play by some rules to enjoy the islands right now. But that incredibly friendly spirit is still here. So if you're coming to the islands, know that besides the testing requirements, which are the same for all of the islands, and I'm not going to go into those right now. You can look that up online, but basically you have to have a test still to be able to come here unless you have been vaccinated. So if you have been vaccinated and you have your vaccination card, then there's a different set of procedures that you can go through, and you do not have to have a test, nor do you have to quarantine when you arrive in the islands. It's a little complicated, but if you're persistent, you can get through it at the airport. We were able to maneuver through it the other day. Each island here in the islands, much like the states on the mainland, has set some of their own rules and regulations. So that's a little confusing. For example, in Maui County, if you're going, that's Maui, Lanai, Molokai, if you're going into a restaurant, you need to show your vaccination card or copy of it on your phone, and you need to show your ID. That's because they found over here when they first started this vaccination thing that they had to that people were borrowing other people's vaccination cards. So now when you show a card, you show your own ID, and that lets them know that for sure that's the right person who has got that. You may be asked for your phone number when you go into a restaurant. We were a couple of times for contact tracing purposes. Kind of the amazing thing, Tom, with all of this is I see very little or no pushback. I haven't seen anybody at a restaurant get upset. Remember, a lot of these folks are tourists, so they don't all know exactly what's going to happen when they get here. But I don't see any big scenes or screaming and yelling in restaurants. Same thing on the airplane. It's a 5-hour flight over to the islands. Any way you look at it, you have to wear a mask. Interestingly enough, on our United Airlines flight, the crew, they're doing a little more enforcement than they used to. You know, the dodge was, well, you get on a long flight and you order a beverage and you just kind of sit there and sip it, and that allows you to keep your mask down. So they're on to folks like that. The flight crews, when we got on board, they very nicely told us, you know, you have to wear a mask. It has to cover your nose and mouth. It can't be with a ventilator, et cetera, et cetera. They walked through the plane, came back on the PA system a few minutes later and said, you know, we've had a chance to walk through the airplane, and we've observed that a number of you were not wearing your mask correctly. So this would be your last opportunity to correct this. Then we're going to come through again and individually ask you to wear your mask properly. So they were policing it. They were enforcing it. And interestingly enough, of course, by the time you've worn a mask for 5 hours, you get to the islands, at least you know that, you know, you have to wear a mask. The deal here is that Hawaiians are looking out for each other. And so if it took them a long time to figure this out, but they're asking now if you visit that you do the same, that you look out for each other and look out for them. And if you come here with that kind of attitude, I can pretty much assure you from what I've seen that you're going to be very welcome here. Tourism is very important to the islands. And those of you who have been here before know that tourism here is a very, very special type of tourism. And that whole aloha spirit and stuff is really important. But you, if you come here and you firmly believe that it's just like being on the mainland and you're going to throw a temper tantrum whenever something comes up that you don't like, I'm going to suggest you that you're going to be sent home, like really pretty quickly, because that's just not the way the game is being played here. Tom?
Well, that's good to hear. You know, I would, based on what you've been telling me, it sounds to me, since there aren't a lot of pushback and people are not getting upset of having to show their vaccine card and their ID to go into restaurants, perhaps the non-vaxxers are just not going. What is your thought?
I think that's an excellent observation, Tom. I think that people who socially just feel that this is not a good thing and that they're not okay with the vaccines and stuff like that, that they're I don't sense the two sides that I sense on the mainland. I kind of sense that everybody here is sort of rowing in the same direction, if that's an appropriate way to put it.
Well, that's going to make for the life to be a lot easier for those that are traveling to the islands. And I appreciate your point and sharing with us that if you fly, and would you fly United?
Yes, United.
Okay. That you're going to be on that plane from the West Coast anyway for 5.5 hours. So if you haven't worn a mask for that long, you might want to practice. Look, we have so much more to talk about in regards to Hawaii, one of America's most popular destinations, and the post-COVID comeback. And we'll do that when we come back from the news next here on The Travel Guys.
Come away with me.
Oh, yeah. Come away with me to the island of Kauai. You're listening to The Travel and Entertainment Guys. Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark is on the island of Kauai. If you're just joining us, we are bringing you up to date on what a vacation looks like if you're going to Kauai, or for that matter, any of the islands, just kind of, you know, doing our best to make you a smarter traveler. Now, Mark, I you're in Kauai. Can you reveal your specific location? Where are you staying?
I can. I decided to try a new hotel property this time around. There is a Hilton Garden Inn here, just a little bit north of the airport in Lihue, and up towards Kapa'a on the east coast of the island. And it's a nice hotel. It doesn't have the traditional lanai's that many Hawaiian hotels have. You know, everybody has a little patio, the porch they can go out and kind of. So it doesn't have that. But other than that, it's a very nice mid-range hotel here in the island. So of Kauai. So it's we oftentimes stay down the street a little ways at the Courtyard, which has now become a Sheraton. And the prices, one thing, prices in the islands are going up. It's especially just like they are everywhere. But food over here, which has always been really expensive, these people are out in the middle of the ocean, and a lot of stuff has to be brought in. And you've all heard, we've heard about all of the shipping issues and stuff like that. So getting stuff in here is expensive. So if you come here to the islands and you thought you knew what expensive food was, bring your wallet and your checkbook with you, your credit card, because eating is going to be something that is probably going to be the biggest sticker shock. Hotels and the like pretty much have not absorbed inflation costs and things yet, Tom, but it is – Hawaii has never been an inexpensive place to come. There's a range of hotels. You can stay in a 2-diamond place or a 4.5 diamond place or somewhere in between if you want to. And of course, there's a wide range of restaurants. But I sense there's still something. The beauty of it is, if you can afford to get here, then there are still levels for different folks. You know, you want to go all out and spend every dollar that you have, that's great. If you're somebody who's coming here with a little bit of a budget, then that can be done too. Hey, Tom, I wanted to ask you, you remember your first visit to the islands?
I do. I said very much so.
Yeah.
Would you like me to? Yeah. Was that there? Do you want me to talk about it?
Well, what I was kind of looking for is the first time that I showed up in Hawaii in 1982 with my first tour group, I was immediately impressed by the attitude of the regular people you come in contact, the number of times that people said aloha.
Absolutely. And of course, it can, depending on what airline you take, it begins there with the greetings on the plane. And we flew to the Big Island. My father-in-law and mother-in-law at the time were living there, and we went to visit. This goes all the way back to, I think, 77. The moment that you disembark the plane, the gals were there with the leis and the greetings and the aloha, and everywhere you went, there is a feeling that exudes when you're there. The people are extremely loving and friendly, and it just kind of goes with the environment, with the feel. It comes in on the breeze, the love of the island and the people. And every time I went, I discovered that. It's still there, huh?
It really is. And you know, the interesting thing is a lot of the tourism destinations on the mainland, everyone is so obsessed with the COVID situation right now, and rightfully so. But it's like, you know, we've got to make sure this is happening or that's happening or this isn't happening or people are wearing masks. So energies are directed in a lot of different ways than they would normally be. You get to Hawaii, and what impressed me with when by the time I got from the airport to the hotel on Maui and went through the rental car situation and stuff, it all turned out. It's all people who they're still saying aloha and mahalo, thank you, in Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. And they're still smiling. And you can, even though they're wearing a mask, those of us who have worn masks for a while, you can tell when someone's smiling or being courteous or generous or thoughtful, even if they're wearing a mask. And that's what's going on here. And that's what makes this right now different from other tourism destinations. I spent 4 days coming across Southern California, visiting a lot of tourist-related places and staying in hotels and restaurants and the like just a couple of weeks ago. California is in way better shape in regards to COVID than many destinations. But I didn't really sense the normalcy, you know, that people, the time that people spend being courteous and smiling and friendly in some cases is now being diverted to other areas. And the time that travelers spend responding to that is also being diverted to other areas. We're all kind of making do and getting along as best as we can with the situation right now. The people in Hawaii, after a couple of false starts and stuff, the governor over here, I talked about it on the air, wasn't particularly complimentary to the gentleman. They tried some different things, and they weren't really committed, and it didn't really work. And now they've gotten on to, when they reopened the islands here, they decided that, you know, they were going to try to keep COVID out, and this was the way they were going to do it. And by golly, if it doesn't appear to be working, and the fact that it's working is causing the people here, I think, to exhale a little bit. And I think that reflects on the travelers, because when you get here, instead of everybody being all uptight and worrying about their COVID responsibilities, they have a little less to worry about in that area. So they have a little bit more time to spread the spirit of aloha with the visitors who come here. And that right now makes all the difference in the world. As a tour operator who takes people places, I can't tell you how refreshing it is to come back to a favorite destination and have people be acting in the super friendly and courteous manner that they are known for here in Hawaii.
Well, I would say that's probably a combination of reasons. Number one, because it is the islands, because it is the Aloha State. And then another reason is because such a large percentage of people that you run into and people that live on the islands and walk the streets and so forth rely on the tourist industry for their livelihood. And, you know, I have a feeling that a lot of it is very sincere. But if it's not, then to be courteous and to, you know, put on a happy face and treat the visitors well is just all part of just doing good business. So I'm glad that you're enjoying it, and I'm glad to hear that report, Mark. I know it's a while out, but if I'm not mistaken, Sports Leisure Vacations has a trip to the islands sometime in 2022, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I plan to bring we limit our groups to the islands to 20. That allows us to do some activities that larger groups would not be able to do. And Sports Leisure trips to the islands, at this point in time, we decided about 10 years ago that most folks in California had been to Hawaii before. And for the few that hadn't, we were going to show them and the returning visitors a different Hawaii than they would normally expect to find. So we do a lot of off the beaten track things here. We have a chocolate farm that we tour here on the island of Kauai. The owner of the farm takes us around. We have a foodie tour that we created where we just go to a bunch of places in the island that make different foodstuffs and allow people to sample them. And that has the added advantage of being able to meet local people. So whether you're coming here with an organized group or you're coming on your own, one of people's priorities in travel these days, I think, is to meet the people at the destination. So for Sports Leisure Vacations, our Hawaii trips have become very focused on taking people to a farm to fork lunch up in the hills of Maui and taking them to a steelgrass guitar concert and doing some of the things that maybe first or second time visitors to the islands might not do, but folks who enjoy coming here might really like having as a part of their itinerary, with a really an accent on meeting local people. I think that's Hawaii is a different culture than what we have on the mainland, and it's a very interesting culture, fascinating culture. And so I enjoy coming here and just having discussions with Hawaiians about how things are different here, particularly Hawaiians who have traveled on the mainland.
Mark, you've been to the islands many times, and your observation in regards to some of your places to eat and things to do, have you noticed, has some of them gone away? Have they closed their doors? Are they temporarily closed and will be opening soon? How much damage has the pandemic caused on what you see in regards to entertainment, dining, etc.?
Some places have gone and may not be back. Actually, one of my purposes for coming over here, because you try to reach people, and if their business is closed, you don't have any personal information for them, you don't have much way to get a hold of them. But if you come and see that, you know, their storefront is completely gone, then that would perhaps mean that they may not be.
It's a good indicator there. Yeah.
If it just says closed and we'll see you soon, why then that's like, okay, these people are still going to be around. You can talk to their neighbors and stuff like that and kind of find out. And you never know when you're going to stumble onto something that you never would have found before, just because you're out looking. And that's sort of my job as a tour operator, I think, is to come to destinations like this and find things that people will find interesting that they might not find on their own. I mean, we have this amazing thing, you know, called Google now, and you can go online and find a lot of these special places that I'm referring to on these two islands on your own. But how would you know if they were really any good? I mean, until you got here and spent money, things in Hawaii are not inexpensive. And as we've talked before, you know, when you take your vacation and you plan something, it's not only the cost of that item, but the cost of your vacation. And you've taken that time slot and allotted it, you know, a half a day or a day for an activity. So not only did you pay for the activity, but you paid to be there, to be a part of that activity. So Hawaii is not an inexpensive place, but it's a beautiful place, and it hasn't, it has changed, and it's become more modern in the 40 years that I've been bringing people here. But yet there is, especially on this trip, and I'm not on Oahu, which is where most of the people are, so I don't pretend to tell you what things are like there. But I can tell you on the two outside islands of Kauai and Maui, that people are slowly, the people who live here are slowly getting back to normal. And the people who come here have been willing to accept a slightly different normal for now. And that is really helping everyone because it's causing dollars are being spent and people are working and commerce is happening and the economy is humming along. And other than the fact that if you rent a car when you get here, you might want to bring a sandwich because there's no guarantee your car will be ready when you get ready to go. We had a couple of interesting experiences that way.
Which reminds me, we spoke about this before the program, car rental prices, what percentage up are they on the islands that you've stayed?
I rented on Maui and we've rented here on Kauai. The prices seem to be just slightly higher than I've previously experienced, maybe 10-15%. I was told on Maui that cost increases are coming before the holidays to reflect the higher fuel prices. Interestingly enough, a quick story here about car rentals, two islands, two entirely different situations that might help some people, not only when you're renting a car in Hawaii, but anywhere else. We get to Maui, renting a car from Dollar, and go up to the Dollar counter. It's not a company that I usually do business with, but obviously they had the best price, the best deal. Getting the car from go up to get the car, the gentleman says, "Well, okay, you've paid for and ordered a full size car." He says, "Unfortunately, we don't have any of those ready right now." He says, "But what I'm going to do is, I don't want you to have to wait for a car." He says, "I'm going to offer you the upgrades that we have available. There'll be no extra charge. You can have whatever you want." He says, "I have a fully equipped Jeep or I have a Camaro convertible." And, you know, like some guys who are getting up a few years in age, it's like, "Well, I never had a convertible. This might be the opportunity." So we buzzed around in a convertible for a few days. Interesting enough, remember now, the car rental company gave that to me without any upcharge. Get to Kauai. Go up to the counter. This is budget this time. And it's ready to pick up my car. "Well, gosh, Mr. Hoffman, we don't have any full-size cars." But before she says that, she says, "You know, we're having a special on convertibles. If you'd like to consider upgrading to a convertible today, it's only 50% of the original cost." And it's like, no. Didn't tell her I got a convertible for free on the other island, but said, "No, let's just stick with the original car." Well, then, Mr. Hoffman, I'm sorry, but we don't have any of those cars available right now. So an entirely different strategy. Instead of saying, "We don't have a car, let's upgrade you and give you whatever we have and make you happy, and so you don't have to wait," it's, "Let's see if we can goose you for a few more dollars first, and then if we can't, why then we'll break the news to you that we don't have any cars, and by the way, we're not doing what the other island does, so just sit here and wait." Eventually, though, cooler heads prevailed, and someone else said, "Well, there are some cars over here and that were a slight upgrade, and we were given it." But I will say to people, when you're going out and you go up to a car rental counter, and especially now, and they start talking to you about other types of cars than the one that you requested, be suspicious, because that could mean that what they're trying to do is extract a few more dollars by getting you to take a car because your car isn't available. So if you just hang in there, wait for the process to play out, you might be able to get something at a fairly inexpensive price or get that convertible upgrade that you've always been looking for. But anyway, kind of an interesting car rental story on two islands.
All right. Great info. We could do this pretty much for another hour, but I'll tell you what, we're going to take a couple of minutes and visit with Al Petrelli with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're going live again this year at the Golden One. We'll get an update from Al when we come back from a short break here on the Travel Guys. Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. It's time one more time to visit with Al Petrelli. They're about ready to hit the road coming up on November 17th as TSO is live once again at an arena near you. Al, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Good to hear your voice, my friend. How are you?
All right. How's things coming together for the tour?
It's going great. I mean, you know, I didn't realize how much I really did miss this until I walked into the building a couple days ago and put a guitar around my neck, and we started playing. It's like riding a bike, you know. A little emotional. You know, a little nerve-wracking with still, you know, COVID protocols and things like that. But just to have everybody back in a room and and playing this music again and listening to these songs come back to life after a year away from it, it's really, really, really awesome.
Al, you when we spoke last, you really hadn't had a chance to, you know, rehearse or do much of anything. We were way ahead of this. Now that you've had a chance to go to rehearsal and talk perhaps with the folks that are putting the show together, can you give us any hints, any surprises we're going to have this year when you guys show up December 3rd here in Sacramento?
Nope, I'm not giving you a clue. You know what? Again, musically, everybody should assume that, okay, Christmas Eve and Other Stories will be performed in its entirety, okay? The songs, the singers bring the characters to life. The narration will be executed beautifully as usual. As far as other songs go, we dug through a bunch of our records and found a couple songs we've never played before. So musically, we're going to bring that out. As far as the look of the show, brother, you know, I don't know yet. I walked into the arena a couple days ago, and literally there was about a dozen or so tractor trailers just dumped a bunch of stuff on the floor. You know, it looks like a huge erector set, you know? So I would say within the next week or so, I'll know what the staging looks like, what the special effects are going to be. But historically, it's grown up over the years and gotten bigger and better. So I think I won't disappoint anybody. And factor in that we've been away from it for a year. I think that's going to be the biggest part of the production, is just the excitement to get back to doing what we love so much.
Is there, if for those that are coming to the show for the first time, let's say you're a little afraid of fire. Maybe you're not one that really likes your music too awfully loud. What would you recommend? Where should they buy their tickets in the Golden One?
There's no bad seat at one of our shows because if you're sitting up close, you know, you kind of have a different vantage point than sitting further back. And sometimes sitting in the back, you have just a completely different view of how big and grand the production really is. So, you know. A lot of the folks from the stage will perform in the back of the arena. You know, there's usually like hydraulic lifts and stuff like that back there. So you never really know. If you're a little squirrely about it, sit further back. And then I promise you, when you come back next year, you'll want to be right up front with us.
All right, Al. Look, I know you got things to do, places to go, and a rock star to be. So any final words for your Sacramento audience before I turn you loose, buddy?
No, brother. Listen, I can't wait to get back to you guys. It's going to be a great first show. I have my first show in 2 weeks here in Council Bluffs, Iowa. But when I get to Sacramento, it's going to be your first show, which makes it my first show all over again. And I just want to live in that moment, look out at everybody there, and just say thank you for these decades. And just, we miss you guys and love you guys, and we're back. And it's going to be a great, great night.
December 3rd, Golden One Center. Mark, final thoughts as we get ready to head out of Dodge here.
Well, I wish everybody a great Hawaiian vacation, and go to travelguysradio.com. We have a bunch of links there to things we talk about. There's one link to something we didn't talk about. It says the 99-year-old and the 2-year-old. It's one of the best stories that you'll come across in a long time. Go to travelguysradio.com and find it there.
All right. This was kind of our special edition Hawaii show. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can give it a day, and you will be able to listen to the program a second time if you missed any of it, and keep you up to date on what's going on in Hawaii during the post-COVID comeback. Mark, you have a great rest of your stay, and look forward to seeing it at home.
Thank you very much. Dance like nobody's watching. See you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.